Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that liked to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chad, throw the mat. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, YouTube.com/1080AM, The Fan, Twitch.tv/1080AM, The Fan. Thank you. God, there's a lot now.
There's a lot of ways you can take us in.
Yeah, yeah. Vancouver Ford text line, you can interact with the show and the comments on YouTube and Twitch as well. They all go to one nifty little place so we can see all your feedback for you. I have to admit, yesterday I officially had the realization I'm an old man. And I'm not an old man. Well, I'd like to make that very clear. I am not an old man.
No. Especially compared to me.
However, there was a moment where all the neighborhood kids were playing out in the cul-de-sac, and a couple of kids went on my grass where I just planted, you know, reseeding the spots that had a little moss. I put so much time into that last weekend to rake it all out, plant new seed. Two kids, one of them my own. They go into the yard, and I'm like, hey, guys, get off the lawn. And yeah. I went, oh, no. Oh, no. Not only am I get off my lawn guy, yet I'm saying it with a mustache as I am sanding and oiling a table for the man cave.
Get off my porch.
And I'm watching the Masters on in the TV in my garage.
Yeah. Hate to break it to you. You are officially an old man.
It was like, that was my first moment. I was sitting there and I had to take a long look in the mirror. Think about who I am right now. Because I had like it was like the Holy Trinity. I had get off my lawn, watching golf, and then doing like some meaningless activity on my Sunday. That's how I was filling my time. And you know what? It felt good. That's the problem that probably bothered me the most. I was like, you know, it's a good little Sunday I had. Feeling good about it.
The only thing missing is maybe, you know, a nice silver bullet sitting on the table there and see the neighbor across the way. Hey, Mike.
I'm not going to comment. Okay,
so those weren't missing.
Damn. It was that moment, though. I was like, yeah, it feels good. It feels right. It feels right. I've been waiting for this my whole life. Like, I've always said that one of the things I look forward to the most is becoming an old man that can just sit on his front porch and say inappropriate things to anybody that walks by.
Right?
You know, it's, I mean, non-discriminatory because I'm doing it to everybody.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah. I'm just going to just fire them all off.
Nothing wrong with being an equal opportunity a-hole.
And I got to tell you, like, I'm going up the stairs. I'm hitting that landing. I'm in a landing. I got, like, another flight that I need to get to the top of the stairs. But I've hit that first landing. And it feels good. It feels good to be in this area right now. You know? Just yelling at kids, get off my lawn, sanding, oiling the table, and then just admiring it for a while. Yeah. Hey, wife, come out here. Looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, take a step back, put both hands on the hips, and just...
Looks good. What do you think? Yeah, it looks like a table. Yeah, but different.
But different.
Yeah, but it looks different than what the last time you saw it.
Oh, man.
Nominally different. Like, very, I mean, it is like the slightest of changes that we have there. But that was my Master Sunday, and I got to tell you, I felt very happy.
Absolutely.
With where I was. And then watching all the golf unfold, it was fantastic. Like, we had a little bit of drama on the front. And then that ninth hole, Scotty Scheffler puts that approach and just tucks it up there, and you're like, uh-oh.
Well, yeah, and there was a while there, too, where right at the top, it got bananas and crazy, and you had a hard time keeping up with everything.
And I thought the storylines were fantastic, and there were a ton of storylines with Scottie Scheffler and his wife, and I was sitting there, you know, she's pregnant, and I had this thought. I'm like, okay, he's on the 16th. He's walking. He's got a 4-shot lead.
Yeah.
If he gets that call right now, there is no chance. Yeah. He's like, I already have my green jacket.
Yeah.
No, because you got to hop on that plane and get that back to Dallas.
Yes.
There's you're not missing. You'd be like, you know what?
What's that 20 minutes going to be?
I'm just going to go ahead and finish this bad boy out.
Yeah.
But when you saw, you know, whether it was, you know, our boy Oberg, you know, Ludwig Oberg going in the water, Max Homa finds the bushes, Colin Morikawa finds water, bushes, a tree. Like, I feel bad for guys like Morikawa at the end. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
The wheels
fell off.
The worst part was on 18, he hooks it hard into the woods, and he's just like, I just need to get this ball close to the hole so Scottie Scheffler can have his moment.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just delaying the inevitable for Scottie Scheffler to put on the green jacket at this point because I can't keep it on the fairway. But you had a little bit of drama early. But then we got to hear some of the other storylines kind of unfolding out of that final round of the Masters, which it was great to see, man. Like, from Vern Lundquist having his final call as a broadcaster, and seeing the reverence that the players, like Tiger Woods going and shaking his hand and having a moment with him on 16, to the way that Jim Nance said goodbye to Vern on those broadcasts. You know, it was those moments in the final call on 16 that he had, when Vern goes, thank you for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm sitting there, I'm like, God,
yeah,
he's been a voice for the last 40 years of the Masters.
Yeah.
That everybody can rely on and everybody knows.
Yep.
And I thought it was perfect the way that Nance said his goodbye as they were doing the montage of Scottie Scheffler.
Scottie Scheffler with another birdie, his seventh of the day. As Vern said, why not? Vern wrote a book back in 2018 called Play by Play. And the last line in the book that you wrote, Vern, I want to apply it to you. You said, thanks, to borrow a phrase, thanks for the your voice, instrument. Thank you for a wonderful soundtrack for all of our lives.
Thank you so much, Jim. My honor. My privilege.
How about that? The only thing that CBS missed on that, the music was too hot.
Too hot. That's on your A1.
You heard him, which is audio one.
Yes.
You heard him faintly start choking up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And as his voice was kind of trailing off, think of everything that Vern has seen, whether it is football, golf.
Yeah, all those decades of SEC football.
Now you have him saying it's my honor, and you could barely hear him say my privilege.
Yes.
As he starts choking up at the end, and you're like, God.
Yeah.
Like that tournament, that those moments, they're ingrained. Like the can you believe it?
Right.
You know, with Tiger, whether maybe, yes, sir, for Jack in 86. He was there for all of it.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see the reverence there in that storyline. We got to see that play out, because, you know, I don't know if we get to see the replays in real time, like just shortly after, of Tiger going up and shaking Vern's hand, if we do have that riveting golf and it does come down to those final couple of holes, because it didn't.
Right.
We got to let the Masters and the magnitude of the Masters and what it meant for everybody kind of fill the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vern saying goodbye, it was a huge part of it, man. It was really, that was really cool for me.
It was a fun weekend, most definitely. The hardest part for me of the weekend itself was watching Tiger just fall apart on Saturday.
Well, and Tiger finishing last, but this is the thing. Tiger made the cut, and that's a win.
Yes, exactly.
He 24 in a row.
Yeah.
That is what Tiger Woods wanted to do.
And he didn't just squeak in, either.
In 23 holes on Friday.
Yeah.
That did him in.
Yes.
he'd only played 24 holes of golf prior to the Masters.
Right.
In 23 in one day, in the ones that he had to play, where you're having to go up the hill on 18, which is a lot steeper than what it looks on TV,
yeah.
is you sit there and the guys say, that haul up 18 is brutal. Yeah. And then right after that, you're going and circling around, you go back to one, and you get to start over, and you play 18 more. That did him in yeah. Saturday. I don't care. It was great to see like Charlie on the range on Sunday with him mm-hmm. as his swing coach. Those moments were great. And that was fantastic. But the storylines, they were playing. Max Homa gets a top three finish, which do you see him on Saturday? He just said he's dry, sarcastic, uh-huh. really funny. He's like, you know, I'm really grateful for the opportunity. And, you know, I just got to keep reminding myself I got dog in me and I'm a dog. And I need to go.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
And then he got, you know, Ludvig Åberg in his, not just his first Masters, his first ever major.
Yeah.
And he finishes as the runner up.
That dude is a ball. You know about him, what's incredible about him is he turned pro and he only has 23 starts.
Mm-hmm.
He has 2 wins. 11 top 10 finishes, a Ryder Cup win, and second in his very first Masters.
Yeah. That's
what?
Yeah. He could be in for some good things.
I mean,
and for a long time, because he's what, 24, I think?
Yeah, he's young.
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler being 27.
Right. I had no idea he was that young.
My wife was like, how old is he? And I said, I think he's like 28, 29-ish. Yeah. And I went and looked at it. I was like, 27. She's like, he looks like he's 43.
Yeah, I had
like,
no idea he was that young.
Yikes. But look, that's what being outside will do for you. And everybody says he's an old soul. Old soul. Old kind of, yeah. you know.
Old looking soul.
Looks old too. And then you had like the storyline of Neil Shipley, the low am. He mm-hmm. gets to play with Tiger in the final round. You see the hubbub about that final round?
No.
Oh, the rules Nazis were out and in full force.
He, I saw on one fairway, on a fairway, he wrote something and handed you a note. What was that about? Did you?
No, he didn't.
Oh, I thought he wrote something and handed you a piece of paper.
No, that didn't happen.
Okay.
Can't be passing notes on the course. Okay?
Fake news?
Fake news, yeah. Apparently. We know that Tiger, like, he slipped Justin Thomas a tampon. Remember that one when he outdrove him?
Yes.
You know? And this poor kid, he's got, like, his moment.
Yeah.
Where dude is playing at Ohio State And then he's low AM, and he's getting that question at the Masters. He looked terrified up there. He was like,
God, what happened?
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
I believe there is a note. And I hope that note had something very vulgar written on it because of what we know about Tiger Woods.
Yes.
But, you know, the reality is probably nothing on it.
Right.
Probably nothing at all on it. But that storyline was great where you have how many times is the low am because of how bad they usually finish in the Masters, do you get to play your final round with Tiger Woods?
Right. No kidding.
You know, everybody's golf idol. Then you have the story of Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood hired a local caddy to be on his bag for the Masters.
That's fantastic.
A guy who is a looper for Augusta National.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Gray Moore, which is the best caddy name ever, and he looks like a guy. Old Gray Moore on the bag for you.
Yeah, well, especially down there in the South, too.
So Fleetwood puts together a top three finish, which is a purse of $1.04 million. The average payout for a caddy is around 8%, unless you're Matt Kuchar, who I guess gave $800 when he did this and hired a local caddy. But if you go $1.04 million, you go 8% of that. Old Gray Moore, $83,000.
Wow.
For being on the bag for the weekend.
Boy, old Gray Moore, he ain't what he used to be.
No, he's not. And that is, dude, that's so many great storylines throughout. From Scottie Scheffler himself, Ludvig Åberg being just as impressive, even though I will say Åberg was humming until he lost his power bar. Did you see the power bar gate?
Oh, that was when I believe I left home to go run a couple errands. It was right after both Scheffler and Morikawa got to 7-under, and Homa and Oberg were at 6-under.
He got the power bar knocked out of his hand. He was 3-under on the round. Finished even. Finished even.
Now, if it's just a power bar. Now,
it's a power bar.
Was this in dirt or the grass?
Grass.
Pick it up. You pick that son of a gun up, and you brush it off, and you eat it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. He ended up getting a sandwich.
Well, I'm just saying.
It's curse of the power bar, though. It messed up his mojo. Great Masters. I was thrilled with the Masters. I think Scottie Scheffler. Thank you, Scottie Scheffler. Even though his odds were the lowest to win.
Yeah.
That's
what happens when you're the best golfer in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Rob scoffed at me when he was like, who are your bets on? And I was like, well, Will Zalatoris didn't work out for me.
No.
And then I was like, and you know, I put some money on Scottie Scheffler too. You know?
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler, duh.
Duh.
And he lived up to all the hype. But what a great Masters it was. We will have more, a little bit more on the Masters because, oh, buddy, the stuffy stuffies were out at the Masters. But coming up next, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. The good, the bad, the ugly. We wrap up 82 games of the Portland Trail Blazers next on The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Portland Trailblazers wrap up their 2023-2024 season, 21-61 on the season. Only 36 games out of first place in the West. So.
Is that all?
Yeah, not that bad. Only 43 games off the best record in the NBA, the Boston Celtics, which had 64 wins. Yikes. That's a doozy right there. The good, the bad, and the ugly from this Blazers season. 503-864-6326. I want to hear from Blazer fans, kind of get inventory on where everybody's at. Because as the season wraps up and we get to the end of it, and you look at 40 games under 500, which I don't know why they say 40 games under 500, but because it was only 20 games under 500.
Yeah, it's always a 40, weird. Yeah.
41 and 41 is 500. They were only 20 games behind then. Yeah,
just don't make no sense.
Yeah, but at the same time, we knew that this was going to be the lot that the Blazers were in. And the reality is that 21 losses, is that all that different than 31 or 21 wins? Is that all that different than 31 wins that the Utah Jazz had? No, because in this portion of the rebuild, and we talked about this at the beginning of the year when we were consistent with it, like 28 being that over-under win total, that was like the ceiling for where this roster was and what the goal was throughout the course of this year. They were young. They were inexperienced. We saw the flurry of moves that happened before the season even started. That led them to this point, and you were breaking in a rookie point guard in Scoot Henderson. And I think as we take a look at what they were is their lack of competitiveness this season, it's frustrating as a fan to sit there and go through it night in and night out. And look, I commend Kevin Calabro, Lamar Hurd, and Brooke Olsendam for putting on an entertaining product, even in those stretches where you knew that they were not going to win. There was nothing to play for. And it was bleak, man, especially with the injury bug kind of hitting this team too. And I think if you look at the bad from this season, the injuries are definitely, you know, almost tops on the list, especially Shaedon Sharpe. The injury to Shaedon Sharpe that kind of derailed the growth and momentum that he could have been gaining at 32 games. You sat there and you said you started to see those sparks and turning into that player that people had hoped he could become. He has to go and get that abdominal surgery. That was just a big downer for this team. Scoot Henderson, where he started to look a little bit comfortable, he gets hurt and then he has to kind of start over again. I think the last 20 games of the season, Scoot was good. I mean, Scoot showed,
at the very least, he had showed improvement,
a lot more comfort and a lot more of that burst in that pop that we thought he would get.
Right.
There are still miles to go in Scoot Henderson's development.
Yes.
And this is not to say that, like, he in 20 games changed my mind one way or the other on him. The verdict is still out on what he can do, because in the end, this era of the NBA, you have to be able to shoot. And we started to see that little bit of a creator, that little bit of that kind of pit bull on the defensive end starting to show, even though it's not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's not complete. Nothing is complete with his game. You started to see growth and development. And then, heck, the last couple of nights, he was actually shooting threes. Not too shabby. But you're going to need to see a shooter. Anthony Simons, I think there's a lot TBD there. Because that was the big one, is that now that Dame is gone, he is the leader of this franchise. And I don't... And Danny may disagree with me when he gets in here, but this is one of the things that you sit there and you look at with this Trailblazers team is, I don't think that Anthony Simons is that dog that can pull you to wins.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that you need. That is a massive void that this team has. I'll say DeAndre Ayton was a bright spot.
Yeah.
Jeremy Grant's injuries were... And look, DA, he had that roller coaster of the injury bug too. Jeremy Grant's injuries were a major concern. And moving forward, you know, you're looking at, all right, or Jeremy Grant and... or Anthony Simons going to be in the fold and in the future of what Portland is doing and trying to build towards.
Yeah, and I think for me, the frustrating part about Simons is that next year will be year 7.
Yeah.
And we still don't know.
Yeah.
We still don't know. 6+ years in, and we still don't know.
No.
And the worst part is that even after next year, even outside of Simons, what have we learned about Chauncey Billups as a coach because of roller coaster seasons like this and injuries and guys in and out of the lineups? And we still don't, 3 years into that, we still don't know what kind of coach Chauncey Billups is.
I thought that what we saw from a lot of role players, like the one thing that Danny has been preaching and we saw it, the draft and development, the Tumani Kamara trade knocked it out of the park. We saw at the end of the year, Ryan Rupaire and his comfortability in shooting the ball and developing that stroke.
Yeah.
He has the potential to be a very fine role player. Chris Murray also, you saw great spurts out of Chris Murray of being a role player. They got the role players dialed in. And look, this team is not far off from being able to compete night in and night out.
Mm-hmm.
To compete for a title is a completely different story,
right,
and completely a different orbit that this organization is dealing with right now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you sit there and as bad as it was, as much as people don't want to acknowledge it or admit it, because 21-61 is a tough one to stare down.
Mm-hmm.
There was development in a lot of areas for this team. It shouldn't sit well with people in reality, this is year... They're going to be entering year 3 of a complete rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
But it's year 5 of non-competitive basketball. That sucks.
Yeah.
Especially for a fan base, a city that is used to being competitive.
Yeah.
And look, Neil O'Shea built a roster that was able to compete and be a playoff team year in and year out. And he did, like, as much as we want to criticize Neil O'Shea,
yeah,
for all the rightful reasons that we do criticize Neil O'Shea, he did build a competitive roster and did a really good job at that. He also, like, Chad Buchanan did the legwork on Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't like he drafted Dame and found this diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
That legwork had already been done. But then that was the centerpiece, the focal point of this organization. What he did was he was able to put a lot of pieces that made a competitive team, a playoff team, a top 5-4 seed in the Western Conference a few times, but made them competitive. I think that this team is lacking star power, obviously.
Yeah.
But you're starting to see the draft development of guys. It was working. Their eye for guys like Duop Reith, who's not a starting big in the NBA.
No.
But finding those guys that can fill a role in down the line type roster building.
Yeah.
The bones are there. But the biggest pieces are missing.
Yeah, it's frustrating because it still doesn't feel like you see the light at the end of the tunnel. You wonder how far off that still is. And also, as much as Olshay did, air quotes, succeed in building a competitive roster, look, we're a couple of years removed from him, but he's still a lot of the reason why the Blazers are at where they're at right now, you know? And it's hard seeing the light at the end of the tunnel because not only does it not feel like we have a one on the current roster, I'm not sure that we have a two on the current roster. Because is on a good team, is Jeremy Grant going to be your second best player?
No, Anfernee Simons could be.
Or like DeAndre Ayton.
But they're missing a one and a bona fide two. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the thing, is do you start pushing reset? And DeAndre Ayton, when he plays like we saw, when he turns it on.
He's got some flashes, man.
And, yeah. 100% he can be.
Yeah.
He can be that guy that you're talking
about.
But
if he can do that, but he needs to be able to do that night in and night out, and he hasn't been able to prove that yet.
No doubt about it. I mean, and that's where we are. I want to know where Blazer fans are. 503-864-6326. That'd be the Vancouver Ford text line. They're miles away from where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
This offseason is massive. It is.
Yeah.
Because they untangled the mess from Olshay. They have put themselves with a couple of tradable contracts, whether that is Malcolm Brogdon on an expiring deal, whether that is a team looking for a guy like Jeremy Grant or Anfernee Simons to go and make some bigger swings. And now, if the lottery ball goes your way later this week and you get the third best odds for the lottery come May 12th,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, if you win the lottery, like this is like a top two kind of draft right now.
Yeah, it's not a great draft.
You're hoping on lottery balls, and then we find a direction and big changes can be made. There's attractive players, again, role players.
Yeah.
Down the line players.
You're not getting your superstar here.
Not on this roster.
No.
Not right now.
I mean, not in this draft.
And I think that was one of the ones that when there's been like this selling of hope that maybe Ant turns the corner. Maybe it. And we've seen what you've mentioned. What, 7 years now?
Yeah. He just finished his sixth season.
He is very young.
Yeah.
And he is a damn good
24
player.
24 still?
Yeah. I think he is 24 years old. He's a really damn good player. But look at every other team that is competitive, that is a playoff competitive team. They are leaps and bounds above any caliber of player that we look at with the Portland Trailblazers. You could just go down the line, whether it's Jason Tatum, Jalen Brunson, Giannis. You can go to Darius Garland in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, they've got a good young core.
Yes.
In Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So does Orlando. They need shooters.
Isn't it
though,
weird to say the words something Wagner along the lines of that the Cavaliers have done it right and well?
Oh, they have. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton in Indiana. You've got Joel Embiid, obviously. Jimmy Butler in Miami. Then you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder with SGA in Chet. Jokic and Jamal Murray in Denver. You got Karl Anthony Towns and Ant Edwards in Minnesota. You've got the trio that is older than Sin, but you have Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Russell Westbrook in LA with the Clippers, Luka and Kyrie in Dallas, KD, Book, and Beal, when healthy, in Phoenix. Every single one of these teams that is competitive, that is a playoff team, leaps and bounds, their number one
mm-hmm.
is miles ahead of where Portland is. They're number two. We mentioned a lot of number twos
yeah.
on these teams that are miles ahead of where Portland is.
Yeah.
And that is the point, and that's the crapshoot, and that's the hardest part. And look, that's where there's a lot of pessimism, and I understand it
mm-hmm.
because those guys are very hard to find.
Yeah.
503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line right now. It's Rust with SportsCenter.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
All right. Time for our worst day on the web, and we're done. Went over talking Blazer stuff, but we got a lot of really good texts, and we will get to those at the top of the 2 o'clock hour because Blazer fans, you want, now's your time to have your voice heard. We'll get to those. We got some master stuff too, but our worst day on the web today. Did you know there are people called professional squatters?
Oh, okay.
Do you know that this is a thing where they like will target a certain location? And then they notice it's vacant, and then they barricade themselves in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Professional freeloaders.
Yeah. Yeah. The dudes of the world, if you will. Well, Gordon Ramsay, the red-ass British chef that everybody loves to hate, and I think people love Gordon Ramsay, too. Gordon Ramsay has a restaurant called York and Albany in jolly old London town. And it was temporarily closed as they were renegotiating the lease for the restaurant. And during that time, these professional squatters took over the restaurant and everything inside of it and have barricaded themselves in. And there's nothing that anybody can do to get the $16.1 million pub back into the possession of Gordon Ramsay.
See, this is something that's always baffled me. How is it that squatters, that people just go in and move it into an empty place that is owned by somebody else, how is it that they have so many rights?
No, squatters' rights are something I'm willing to listen to anybody that can explain to me what squatters' rights are.
Right.
But what it sounds like is you take over somebody else's property and you say, "Mindsies."
Yeah. Finders,
and then they're
finders,
like,
keepers.
Oh, well, that's a tough one. Can't get them out. No. Yeah. Pretty easy, right?
Get them out. They don't own the joint. It's not theirs.
So, in how long do you squat until you have these said rights?
Yeah. What does it take? How long does it take? Are we talking a day, a week, a month? What are we talking here?
Yeah.
I mean, am I in there for a half an hour and it's mine?
This is something I'm always just enthralled when I see these stories. And like, we've seen these stories, you know, there was a house on the east side here in Portland where there was a big squatters issue and they had this squatters rights and the people are like, well, we own the building. Okay, why can't you just get the people out of there?
Yeah.
It's something that I would love to hear why it is that they have said squatters rights.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't make sense if the property is somebody else's,
right?
If the building is somebody else's, everything inside of it, in this case for Gordon Ramsay, and this is in London, this isn't even in the States, that the things inside the building are the property of somebody else, but they're like, nah, it's mine now. It's like, I'm the captain now.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's what I wonder.
What?
Could the owner of said building say, you know, look, we got a bug problem. We got to fumigate. We got to get some exterminators in there and fumigate. Put the old tent up and fumigate the hell out of that joint. Can they, like, is that not within their rights? And be like, hey, you know what? You can stay in there if you want, but you're not going to survive.
That's a good. Ooh, that's a great question. Like, hey,
just go bug bomb the hell out of that place.
Well, squatter's rights, obviously. I mean, that's why you can't do it. Squatter's rights. Possession is 9/10 of the law. And this is mine now.
It's frustrating.
I don't know.
It's mind-boggling.
I don't. Well, then again, it's like, how do most countries get their boundaries?
Valid point.
Claimsies.
Yeah.
Squatters' rights. I would not be surprised one bit if like that is like the legal precedent. There's like somebody who's just like, oh, yeah.
Of course, also, most of the time, those also involved, like, weaponry and just overtaking a smaller, weaker people. But, you know, war and stuff.
Yeah. Apparently, like, the folks that are taken up in this place, like, the Sun over there, their tabloid paper.
Yes.
They got pictures of the guy. One guy has two black eyes and is, like, athletic tape on his knee like he just got knocked out by Max Holloway. Did you see the end of UFC 300?
Look, I don't think there's a single thing on the sports landscape that I could give less of a crap about than MMA.
But that fight, UFC 300, that was an incredible finish.
Yeah.
basically, Max Holloway is just beating up this dude. They're in the fifth round. In the final 10 seconds, he goes, let's go, middle of the ring. And they just threw haymakers.
Yeah.
And Holloway could have just, like, you know, he could have wasted away the time and just won it. But with 2 seconds left, bop, got him. It was an incredible, like, flurry of punches at the end of a 5-round fight.
Uh-huh.
And he just got him. Lights out, middle of the mat. That was really, it was really cool.
Yeah.
It was like what you hope every big fight should be. And
they never are.
No, but we got it at the end. And I was here for it. But it got, like, one of the guys squatting in Gordon Ramsay's place, he looks like he just caught one of those shots from Max Holloway and just, night, night. Oh, man.
I wonder how he got those two black eyes.
You
trying really, to go find another place to squat?
Yeah, probably somebody said no.
Yeah.
All right, 503-864-6326. That's Vancouver Ford text line. This is Danny and Dusty.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball. I love Jackie Day.
Oh, yeah.
Also Tax Day.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Yeah.
God, why they got to do Jackie dirty like that?
I mean,
I realize what it's probably corresponds with his debut. But,
that's what it is. You ding, 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 ding. Yeah. You got it there, boss. But I had the Guardians. God, this is so, I'm still not used to the Guardians.
Right?
It doesn't take me too long to catch on to what new team names are.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians is just not. Doesn't stick with
it's
me.
It's just a lame name.
It is a lame name.
They should have gone with the Spiders.
That would have been great.
Should have gone with the Spiders.
Spider is it's an underused mascot because spiders are deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Spiders are pretty cool looking.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, you can do a lot with the logo.
Yeah.
I mean, they are. I want to smash them every time I see them.
Right.
Just like every opponent will want to smash you. But guess what? You can bite them. You'll sneak up and you'll bite them. They're Cleveland. But Guardians, Red Sox, like we're sitting there like, Guardians such a lame name. The Red Sox, that's a name.
Well, but at least that's because, you know, that was in the late 1800s?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Lame names for everything.
Sure.
Except for Tungsten Armo Doyle.
Except for their nicknames.
Yes.
Their team names were terrible. The players' names, that's what they cared about.
Yes.
Not the name on the front. They cared about their name on the back.
Exactly.
All these red-assed coaches have it wrong.
Yeah.
It's not about the name on the back, on the front. It's about the name on the back. Just like Tungsten Armo Doyle.
Yeah.
Old Oil Can O'Hallahan over there.
Yeah.
Like all these guys. They were great. They had awesome nicknames. But they beat the Red Sox 6-0. It is very confusing when I look out and I'm like, I have no idea who any. They're all number 42.
Yeah.
But it is really, it's the best tribute in sports. That one day, every year, Major League Baseball does it. And it means a whole hell of a lot to the history of the game. And I do. I think it's really cool that every number is retired in 42 is retired in every stadium.
Yep.
And that every player wears number 42 on Jackie Robinson Day. Be ready for this one, though. Because did you see the Red Sox uniforms?
No.
The 42, it's like Dodger blue on their jerseys. I do not remember that. If this is a new Fanatics thing, it looked awful. In the Guardians uniforms, they looked pretty normal. But there was like a bright blue 42 on the back of the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
No. Fanatics and Nike are screwing this thing up. But yet again, but we shouldn't be surprised by that.
Right.
Happy Jackie Robinson Day, everybody. Have you seen 42?
No.
The movie?
I've not.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Sometimes it's just like the sportsy movie.
Yeah.
they lose me sometimes just because everything looks so fake. All the action, it always looks fake.
Yeah. No, you know it mean? Was this was it
it's
was
one of the hardest things to pull off in Hollywood, but it just yeah. But for me that's why.
It was really well done. And what they did though was they only focused on 2 years of Jackie Robinson's life.
Okay.
And it was his first 2 years in baseball. And Chadwick Boseman did a really good job of, as well as you can, emulating Jackie Robinson in his mannerisms and his style of play. But you're right. Like, sports movies are really tough. And I loved the fact that it was the good, the bad, and the ugly of his foyer into Major League Baseball.
Right.
But it also, if you watch the movie 42, it leaves you wanting to learn more about him. And I hope that more people do.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was such a fascinating person. I mean, it was far more than just breaking the color barrier in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He was never afraid.
Yeah.
Even though he was internally. He never portrayed that fear
right
on the exterior. And he's such a strong human being to go through the racism that he went through,
mm-hmm.
the death threats, the hatred. But the person that is Jackie Robinson, the fact that whether it was at UCLA being a three-sport star.
Uh-huh.
Like, and we're not talking just like, oh, yeah.
He played
four sports.
Uh-huh.
He was a star in three of them. That's, legitimately.
Yeah.
A star. And he was just everything that you would want an athlete to be as far as a role model, a person. Dude, Jackie was great.
Speaking of
Jackie Robinson,
if you really want to know a little bit more about Jackie Robinson, here's a little nugget I read on the Twitters earlier.
Okay.
So I believe it said it was 1952. He and his wife were expecting their third child.
Oh.
And so they were looking to buy a larger home for their growing family, right? And apparently around then, when they're out looking for homes to buy and whatnot, the certain homes that they would go try to buy and look at would suddenly come off the market and no longer be available. I wonder why, right? So apparently, at this point, she was about 9 years old, whatever, but Carly Simon's dad heard about the problems he was having.
Really?
They had found a piece of land, the Robinsons did, a piece of land somewhere, to build a home, but the problem was it was going to take a year and a half to build a home, and so they had nowhere to go in the meantime. They moved in with Carly Simon's family
until
the house was built.
No way.
And so, like, just in the backyard, Jackie Robinson would be out there tossing the ball around with 9-year-old Carly Simon. And, yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy, huh?
Like, God, you hear some of these stories are just wild. Like, Julia Roberts and her connection to Martin Luther King Jr., right?
Right.
Like, her dad was their doctor, I think.
Wow, okay.
I think that's what it was.
Sure.
That is a wild story.
Right?
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Crazy Damn. Stuff, man.
All right. Hey, let's get to hour number three. Your feedback on the Blazers, the good, the bad, and the ugly of a 21-61 season. This is Danny Dusty on The Fan.